Jesus is about to do a new thing, brand new sermon series starting today. Why don't we honour Pastor Kerry as he comes to start the series?
Let's pray. Morning, church. How are you this morning? Well, I've just had a week of the man flu. Nothing like the man flu, is it? Is there? Where you just feel absolutely lethargic. You pray to the Lord, take me now. But I only spent 3 days in bed because every morning I said, Lord, I'm healed and whole. I'm healed and whole. I'm healed and whole. And if you're feeling sick today or have been feeling sick, every morning when you get up, say, Lord, I am healed and I'm whole. You speak positive words into your life. And I believe, I've heard people have been done with this flu for about 2 to 3 weeks. And I thought, Lord, I can't do that because I've got this message. I've got this series to bring to the people this morning. And over the next 4 weeks. Who here has ever followed the human potential movement? Good. Now, this potential movement you will find in conferences all over the globe, especially in sales and marketing and motivational conferences. If you have been to these conferences, you'll be familiar with the names like Tony Robbins, Wayne Dyer, and many others who believe that human beings have not come anywhere close to realizing their full potential. And we see this all over the globe. We see this on our TVs. We see it in our schools even, this human potential movement. Inherent in the human potential movement is a targeted focus on self. And a new age type mysticism that asks you to move deeper within yourself and sometimes even out of yourself. Now, people are asking this all over the world. It's becoming a new thing. It's becoming a cult. Today, as we begin our new series, putting it into practice, putting it as in our faith, we also want to talk about how to recognize your potential, my potential. But in the direct contrast to the human potential movement, we're talking about recognizing your potential as a person who has been created by, who has been empowered by, and who has been gifted by the Almighty God. In other words, we're not focusing on self alone, but on a person who has personally surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and recognizes everything that he or she could be of that relationship. Well, let's put it this way. You have untapped potential that needs to be brought out to the surface, but that potential has come to you from God for the purpose of serving him in ministry. Now, let's take some time to look at 3 very basic but very important biblical truths that should help you on the road to recognizing your potential. Number 1, I have been made in God's image. You have been made in God's image. We've heard this before, haven't we? Just think about it for a minute. I have been made in God's image. Just say that. Just say that for me, please. The Bible very clearly tells us this truth in Genesis 1:27. It says, so God created people in his own image. God patterned them, you, after himself. Male and female, he created them. See, the Bible teaches us that God used himself as the pattern for which he created us. Isn't that exciting? The Bible also mentally and emotionally and spiritually, we have been wired up similar to God. Of course, this teaching runs contrary to what we receive in our modern culture. Okay, for instance, in the summer of 2005, sorry Craig, but in London, the zoo there posted a sign up with a new exhibit reading, warning, humans in their natural environment. I've got a picture here there for you. The exhibit featured human beings in a sealed enclosure adjacent to another sealed enclosure of various primates. The human captives were chosen from an online contest and spent their time sunning on the rock ledge, playing board games and waving to spectators. A signboard informed visitors about the species' diet, about their habit, about their worldwide distribution and threats. The goal of the exhibit, according to the zoo spokesperson, Mr. Wills, was to downplay the uniqueness of human beings as a species. Seeing people in a different environment among the other animals, Mr. Wills said, teaches members of the public that the human is just another primate. Tom Mahoney, one of the participants of the exhibit, agreed. A lot of people think that humans are above other animals, he said. When they see humans as animals, here, it kind of reminds us that we're not all that special. The Filipinos have got a good word for that comment. It's called bulla bulla. Is that right? That's right, isn't it? Nick, bulla bulla to that? means bulla, bull. What a contrast, though, to the biblical promise that human beings are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. The fact is that we are unique amongst God's creation. We are special. You are special. We, unlike the rest of creation, have been made in the image of God. Now, how does that fact help me recognize my potential? Well, it helps me realize that if I am made in the image of God, then I've also been given the capacity to experience God-like things. Now, hang on. That doesn't mean to say that we are gods, okay? I'm not saying that. We're not. Or that we're equal to God, as the cults would teach. But that we have the ability to grasp the mind of God, that we have the capacity to react emotionally like God, and that we have the gift of being able to worship God in a way no animal on this planet can. The teaching of Darwinian evolution and the acceptance of it by our modern culture has, in truth, also led us to devalue ourselves as human beings. That's a far cry from what the psalmist's prayer that recognized the truth from God. And he said, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Wow. When we recognize what the psalmist realized about himself, we will be well on our way to recognizing our full potential. Which brings us to point two. I'm really excited to share this with you. I have been empowered by God's Spirit. I've been empowered by God's Spirit. When a hurricane hit South Florida, a lady called Narina, her home was one of many that got severely damaged. The elderly woman received an insurance settlement and the repair work began. However, when the money ran out, so did the contractor, leaving an unfinished home with no electricity. Narina had been living without power ever since. The astonishing part of the story is that the hurricane was not Hurricane Katrina, but it was Hurricane Andrew. Hurricane Andrew struck in 1992. Narina had been living in that dark, unfinished house for 15 years. No heat when the winter chill set over Florida. No air conditioning when the mercury climbed up to 40 degrees and the humidity clung on to 100%. Not one hot shower for 15 years. Without money to finish the repairs, Narina just got by with a small lamp and a single burner. Her neighbours didn't seem to notice the absence of power. And acting on a tip, the Lord Mayor of Miami got involved, and it only took a few hours of work for the electrical contractor to return power to the house. A couple of hours. SBS News said the Narina's plans was to get the water really, really hot, and then take her first bubble bath, and then have another one the next day, and then the next day. She said, it's hard to describe having the electricity to switch on. It's so overwhelming. Why did I tell you that story? Norina's living with no electricity could be easily compared to many Christians living without the power of the Holy Spirit. For some reason, many of us have not believed or perhaps been not aware of the promise that Jesus made us in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. When Jesus says, but when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The promise here specifically has to do with the power that we are given to tell others about Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit who indwells in us. This Holy Spirit is promised to everyone who comes to Jesus Christ in faith. So if you're a Christian today, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you and will empower you for ministry. Is that exciting? Oh, three of you are excited. That's good. Listen to these verses that Apostle Paul wrote. Ephesians 3:16. See, some churches say, oh, the Holy Spirit was only back in the book of Acts. That's bulla bulla. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that from this his glorious unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know that the way we lived among you was further proof from the truth of our message. Wow. Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. Now, I loved our worship this morning because it was all about worshiping what the name of Jesus Christ. It just fits into this message so well. I loved it. Pardon me. Rebuke you in Jesus' name. He would know. In just a few verses, we learn that the Holy Spirit empowers us by giving us inner strength, by giving us the ability to discern truth from error and the ability to do what is pleasing to God. Isn't that cool? Think about it. Now, if you're trying to accomplish these things in your own power, guess what? You're never going to do it. It is by relying on the Holy Spirit to work through us and in us that we're able to become the people whom God wants us to be. For many of us, like Norina in Miami, in our story, we just need to switch on the power that we have. When we've been trying to do everything on our own, power and effort, and we experience failure, it's because we're not designed to do it on our own. And why should we try it on our own? Try and do it on our own. When God has supplied us this very own Spirit to give us the power and the ability to see things through. We are made in God's image. We are empowered by God's Spirit. But that's not all. We can also proclaim, number three, I have been given God's gifts. You have been given God's gifts. Romans 12:6-8. It says, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So God has given you the ability to do certain things well, each and every one of you. So if God has given the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking through you. Now, I know there are a few people here that have got a prophetic gifting. Now, I know there is a couple of people here that actually use that prophetic gifting and come out the front here and say to Craig or myself, oh, listen, I really believe the Lord's saying this for the church. And then I give them the mic, or if they're too shy, I'll say what they said. But I know that there are other people in this room that have a prophetic gifting that aren't using it or aren't being bold enough. Today, God is saying to you, step out in faith, be bold, and bring the word. Bring my word to the people. Yeah. There's been a couple of times when people have come up to me after the service and said, oh, you know what, God had gave me such a great word for the church this morning. And I go, you what? I feel like going, please don't ever come up to me and say, oh, gee, the Lord gave me a word for the church this morning that he wanted to share, and you didn't come up and share it with the people. You know, it may not mean anything to you, but it might mean to someone, it might mean something really special, someone sitting over the other side of the church.
Yeah.
That's how we are committed to transformation in Jesus' name. By operating in the gifts that God has given us. What else is there? If your gifts is serving others, then do it well. You know, we've got a bunch of servers in this place that I just... You guys are amazing. In the well afterwards, after the service, people tirelessly serve. People, the beautiful flowers arranged. They come early in the morning. They put the flowers out. They serve. People doing communion, they're handing out communion. They serve. If you are a server, if you're gifted at serving, serve. Serve in the church. If you're gift, what else? If you are a teacher, oh, who here's a teacher? Who in this room is a teacher? Come on, not. Oh my goodness, I've never known a teacher to be so. Who's a retired teacher? Don't put your hand up. It was a trick question. If you've been given a gift as a teacher, you're never retired, okay? What are you doing? Who's studying to be a teacher? Wow. Come on, it's okay. If you've been given a gift of teaching, well then teach. That just doesn't mean in the schools, it means in the church. What else does it say? If your gift is to encourage others, then do it. There are many encouragers in this room, and I love it. I love getting the SMSs or the texts or the emails encouraging me. I feed off encouragement every day. You can give me, I won't say that. I was going to say, you give me a pay rise, it doesn't matter. But I won't say that. Words of encouragement, I love it. If you are an encourager, open your mouth and encourage people. I mean, I'm looking out here in front of a bunch of guapo and guapa people. Yeah. Guapo and guapa people. Ask Nick what that means. If you have money, share it generously. If you have money, share it generously. I love the Western world. I love the people in the Western world because we can always look at our neighbour, we can always look at the person next to us and say, well, he's wealthier than me. He's got a lot more money than me to spare. And we can look at the person over here on this side and say, yeah, well, they've got plenty of money. Did you know what? Every single person in this room, doesn't matter how poor or rich you are, you're in the top 2% of the wealthiest in the world. Now, there were many nights in the Philippines where I was walking through the city. I actually literally had to step over families, children, husbands and wives cuddling together on the side of the road that was sleeping just on cardboard. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Sorry. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If one of the elders in this church has asked you to come and step up, or I've come and asked you to step up, or Craig or Pastor Mark or whatever has asked you to step up, then they can see that potential in you. Step up. Step out and be bold. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Do it gladly. I can look around this room and you're all kind people. Why? Because we've been fearfully and wonderfully created by the Creator Himself, who's patterned us after Himself. Mike Yancinelli, in his book Messy Spirituality, wrote of how individual believers who may think who are insignificant are brought together in the body of Christ to create a magnificent work of art. In Minnesota, the home of Concordia College, a very bleak part of the USA, especially during winter, all year the community anticipates Concordia's annual Christmas concert. Each December, a huge choir and a full orchestra give a musical performance in the concert hall at that college. And in the background of the college is 40 metres by 5 metres, massive, high, big mosaic, and it's the picture of it up here. In the beginning of summer, about 6 months before the concert, the community designs a new mosaic, rents an empty building, and the painting begins. Hundreds of people from junior high schoolers to senior citizens paint the mosaic. They paint a number on the large scale design that is designed by thousands of tiny pieces. Day after day, month after month, a little painted piece at a time, the picture of the mosaic gradually takes place. When everyone has finished painting, the artist goes over the entire creation, perfecting the final artwork. When the mosaic is completed, they place it behind the choir, as you can see there. It has the appearance of an enormous and beautiful stained glass window, and they do this every year. The weekend of the concert, those people who have helped paint early arrive, along with their friends and neighbours. Throughout the building, you can hear people whispering, "See that little green spot under the camel's foot? I painted that, Mum." Every year in the middle of summer in Moorhead, Minnesota, thousands of unknown, ordinary people paint a tiny, insignificant tile. 6 months later, the result is a spectacularly beautiful masterpiece. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ is God's masterpiece. And that masterpiece is complete when each and every one of us use our spiritual gifts that God has given us to serve ministry. Without you, they're your piece of the mosaic, the masterpiece is incomplete. Which means if you're not doing anything in the church, doing anything in ministry, which you've been created to do, which you've been gifted to do, it will never be complete. God did not give you a gift to squander it away. He gave it to you to use specifically for serving others. Your gift might be completely different than my gift, But all gifts have been given specifically to enable us to fulfill the calling that God has given each and every one of us. Now, there are many spiritual inventories and books and seminars given how to discover your giftings. And perhaps you need to take advantage of them. But for most of us, the problem is not discovering our gift, but putting our gift into practice. Realizing that you are perfectly and wonderfully made in God's eyes. That you have been made in the image of God, that turning on that power, joining in a ministry that joins the kingdom together, and using your gifts. When you recognize how you have been gifted and start using that gift for God's glory, not only will you be helping build the kingdom of God, but you will also be personally blessed as you find fulfillment in ministry. We all have an amazing opportunity in using our gifts in the new community outreach program that Craig talked to you about the other week. I'm really excited about this. And you know what? This program, this community outreach program, Hillside Community Outreach, who's in partnership with Margaret Court Community Outreach, this is going to be a big thing for the community. We've been talking about it, Craig and I, just the other day with Barry Court. They want to have a big opening day where Margaret Court will come out here and we're going to get the media out here and everything, because this is going to be a centre for the eastern gate of this community, of this state, where people will be able to come and get food.
Wow. Yeah.
And clothes, and it's all going to be operating out the back here. We are committed to transformation in Jesus' name. And among that, we need people that are gifted. We need people that are gifted in caring for people and encouraging for people and for praying for people. Because Craig and I can't do it by ourselves, can we? Well, you may be able to.
I'm out.
You're out? We need teachers. We need people who are generous. This is going to be an exciting time for the church. But not only that, we've got other ministries in the church. We've got kids' church going up there. We've got the flower ministry. We've got the deacon ministry. We've got children's ministry. We've got the youth ministry. We've got so much happening. We've got the retirement village here. We've got the primary school. We've got the high school. We've got Table Bible College behind us on our property. If you want to go to Bible College, we've got a Bible College. Wow. I love talking to the pastors in the Philippines. They said, oh, so how big is your church? I said, oh, we're only a little, fairly little church, 200, 300 people. But we do this and this and this and this and this and this. And they just go, wow. Show us how you do that, how we can do that. If you're a Christ follower today and you can state, can I have the music team up, please? If you're a Christ follower today and you can state with full confidence, you can state with full confidence the following. I have been wonderfully made in the image of God. I have been empowered by God's Holy Spirit. I have been given God's gifts. They're truths, people. One thing you cannot say is, I have no potential. Or, I am not gifted. They are the lies from the enemy. And many of us have had negative words spoken over us over our time. And you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to send them back to where they came from. And that's the devil. Because the fact is, there is absolutely nothing you cannot accomplish for God's kingdom once you recognize what God has done for you. You have been created, you have been empowered, you have been gifted by the Almighty God to do great things. I wrote down here now, let's get out there and start doing it. I'm serious. Let's stop playing church and start being church that God created us to be. After church today in the well, I want you to ask people, I want you to sit down and ask questions. What do you think my gift is? Ask people that. What do you think my gift is? What are you doing with that gift? Or how can I do something with my gifting in the church? In the Connect group this week, I want you to ask those questions. You know, we may think what we know what our gifting is, but the people around us will know better because they see us walk the walk and talk the talk. If you want to know what your gifting is, ask a good friend and they'll tell you. Now back to those of us who've had negative things said to us. I was so fortunate as a kid. So fortunate. I had a loving family. I had great friends that always encouraged me to do the best I could. But you know what? I had a lot of mates and a lot of friends that were never that blessed. And I know there's a lot of people in this room this morning that have might have been your father, it might have been your mother, it might have been a teacher, it might have been a friend that spoke negatively of you, and you've taken that negative word and you've taken it and you've just believed in it. Think, I've got no potential. God can't use me. This morning we prayed in the back room. I said, Lord, I want to break chains this morning. I want lives transformed this morning. I want lives to be broken off people this morning so that they can understand their whole gifting, that they are wonderfully, that they are fearfully made in the image of God. Each and every one of you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. That's the truth. I know there are words being spoken over people that have really put them down. God wants you to forgive those people this morning. He wants you to understand that those words that have ever been spoken over to you are lies, are lies, are lies, and lies. The potential in this room is awesome. The potential of this room can change nations for Christ. The potential in this room can love thy neighbour. The potential in this room can feed the needy. The potential in this room can pick up the poor and make them the wealthiest of the wealthiest by introducing Jesus Christ to them. The potential in this room right now is magnanimously amazing. Let's stand. If you want to break off, I know some people don't like to come up the front, but if you want to break off words that have ever been spoken over to you, might have been, oh, you're ugly. You'll never do that. You know, I want to tell you a story. I've got a 30-year school reunion coming up in a couple of months' time, and I remember our 15th school reunion. This girl came up to me and she said, Kerry, how you doing? I said, yeah, good, thanks. Beautiful girl. And she said, you know, I remember on the bus one day, it was a Thursday afternoon, she knew the day, she knew the exact time, and she said, I remember poking you in the back of the head, just playing. And apparently I was grumpy that day. But I turned around her and I said, stop touching me, you are so ugly. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. But she carried that. She carried that for 15 years. So I'd asked for forgiveness. I said, I am so sorry. I did not know what I was saying. And I'm sorry that you've had to carry that for 15 years. I said, you know what? You're absolutely a mate. You're a beautiful woman. If you're carrying things like that today, God wants to break that off you, because you are not ugly. You are not whatever people have said you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully and beautifully made in the image of God. And you can do an amazing thing for His kingdom. So as we sing the song, you just want to come up. I'd love to pray for you. As we start the series, this is the number one out of number four of the series. We're going to be dealing with stuff like this over the next 4 or 5 weeks. It's going to be an awesome time for us. But there's going to be breakthrough. So let's just sing. In your own time, just come forward. Or if you've said things to other people, if you've said things to other people, come forward. We'll deal with it. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now, Lord, forgive us for at times, Lord, not actually accepting the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, forgive us the times that we've totally neglected what we were created for. Lord, what you did to us, did for us on the cross, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray, forgive us, Lord, for the things that we've said that have come out of our mouths that is not giving you the glory, that haven't given you the glory, Lord. That have actually pushed people away from you. Heavenly Father, we draw a line in the sand and we just say, Lord, we just ask angels to be placed by our mouths. And we say, help us, Lord, to see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and speak with your heart. Heavenly Father, I just pray for people this morning, Lord, that have had negative words spoken over them. I break them off now in the name of Jesus. And we send those words back to where they came from. And Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we are wonderfully, fearfully created in the image of you. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us as individuals. To do your work here. Lord, I pray peace upon those, Lord, that have been hurt. I pray forgiveness upon those who have been hurt. I pray for transformation right now in Jesus' name. That today will be a start of a new day in the kingdom of heaven. That today will be a glorious day, where we've seen you, Holy Spirit, do your stuff amongst us. We just want to thank you. We just want to give you all the honor and all the glory. And we know, Lord, that you can use us to change this nation. And so, Lord, I just lift up all the ministries that are going on here at Hillside in this community. Lord, I lift up the wider church in this community. And I say, rise up. Rise up. But Lord, particularly for Hillside right now, I just pray, Lord, that all the ministries that are going on, Lord, that are committed to transformation in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that you will just equip the church, equip the people in everything that we do to bring you glory. Hallelujah. And this we pray in your name, Jesus Christ.